You know, I like this song. I really do. It just makes me think of that smile, and he's so enthusiastic, and we love having him on. And that is Kerry Crowley, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. How are you?
Excellent, Marty. Anytime you get to hear a little King Harvest on the way in, it makes the day a lot better.
Plus, I like that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's King Harvest? Who's that?
They're the singers of that.
Oh, I got it. I'm only teasing.
That is the artist.
I'm only teasing.
That is the artist.
I'm only teasing.
Yeah.
Carmen Q just drove off the road when I said that. You know that. Hey, we had a great dinner at Original Joe's on Wednesday night. I got to see Nancy Hayden Crowley and FX there, and they were there for a political event for Dennis Herrera. But nice to see him, and we got to get you to one of these Original Joe's dinners. When you're here, hopefully it'll be a home game, and we'll get you out there one night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Everyone talks about the dinners, and I haven't had the chance to attend one yet, and so that's on the bucket list now, Marty.
Yeah, it was great. We really had a lot of fun. So I'm going to give my question for today. Question is the score of today's game, and how many pitches will Tyler Beede throw today in the game? So score of the game, and how many pitches for Tyler Beede, and you can tweet that in at Baseball Marty or call Ref 808-KMBR. You got a guess on that one?
Well, we're probably looking in the 95 to 105 range,
I would say.
Especially considering that they're in a stretch where they're trying to get every last inning they can out of starting pitchers. We saw it last night with Jeff Samardzija going six after giving up four runs in that fourth inning. So I think they'll try to extend Beede as long as they can.
Oh, very good point. That's a good point. I commented on Samardzija when we opened the show today that, look, we saw this guy in spring training, and, you know, who knew what was good, what was bad, and they got lit up in that Cub game towards the end. I remember seeing him there. But he takes the ball every fifth day. Every fifth day he takes it and he gives him an effort. I think it's commendable for him. It really is. He gets a lot of money. But with that shoulder injury, I think the guy has had a good year.
Well, really, there weren't expectations for him heading into the season because his shoulder was such a question mark. No one knew what they were going to get out of him. So the fact that he hasn't had to take any rest, the fact that he has gone out there every fifth day has provided some stability for the rotation. Heading into yesterday's game, he led the starting staff in ERA. It was better than Madison Bumgarner. And, of course, he had that big hiccup in the fourth inning yesterday. He hasn't pitched deep into games this year, but he has had several starts where he's given the Giants exactly what they've needed. And he's been a part of a few winning games, and you know, last offseason you wouldn't have guessed that would have been the case after what he struggled through in 2018, and so it's been important for the Giants to get those innings out of Samardzija.
Yeah, I agree. I really do, and he, as I say, takes the ball, and look, the stuff is not the same. We all can see it, but he does battle, like they like to say, and he is a veteran, and it was good. So the star of the night, how about this? How about Alex Dickerson? What do you think?
Yeah, knew nothing about Alex Dickerson heading into last night, and all of a sudden, he bursts onto the scene with six RBIs, the mammoth grand slam over the pool in right field, triple off the left field wall, and you can sort of see why the Giants are intrigued by his power potential. To me, he's a little bit like a left-handed Tyler Austin, in that there's so much to unlock there, and if you can get him to stay healthy and get him to have consistent at-bats where he gets into a bit of a rhythm, there's a lot of potential that that just hasn't been tapped into in his career because of injuries.
Yeah, I think with all the shenanigans that they go through at the end of this roster back and forth, and, you know, we've seen a million things since spring training, this guy may be legit. And I say that because 458 is not by accident. And he's 29. He's lost a couple of years to injuries. It's not like he can't play. And if you look at his major league statistics, he's got some extra base power. So I think actually they – look, the guy's got to stay healthy. He's got to do it again. He's got to do it 400 times. But I think they may have something here.
Yeah, it was a mild surprise that they didn't choose Chris Shaw to come up if they wanted left-handed power, just because of what Shaw has shown at AA and AAA this year. He's increased his walks. He's cut down on his swings outside the strike zone, and he's maintained some of that power that he showed last season. And so I think some of the fans were a little upset that Shaw wasn't the first guy who was given a crack, and Dickerson comes out in his first games, 8 total bases, 6 RBIs. He's the first guy to do that with a new team since Starlin Castro back in 2010. And so it was really the performance that the Giants have been looking for. If he can string together a consistent week, he could be around much longer than they initially anticipated, because I think he was just brought up really to fill a roster spot while Steven Duggar is on the injured list.
I agree. How about Pilar? Pilar, as Carmen likes to say. You know, they do the pirate thing on him.
Well, Pilar's got an 864 OPS in the month of June. He's been a completely different player since the calendar turned, and he's really been a fixture in the middle of this offense, Marty, that has struggled to score runs for the better part of the season. He's been one of their best players in June, and I don't think anyone saw that happening after his struggles in April and May. You kind of wonder, does he have anything left? And he's really answered that question this month. He's proven to be solid. He's hitting over 300 for the month, and this is kind of the player they look to acquire, and so maybe he's building trade value, but he is arbitration eligible, and maybe the Giants will see this and think that he could be, you know, a third or fourth outfielder on the 2020 team.
Well, it depends what they do. You know, this, as I say, this next month, and you and I will be talking about it a lot, to see what they bring in and who's ready and who's not, and do you pay him $6 million, you know, to be the fourth outfielder? Probably not. But he won't take a pitch, I'll tell you that. And he reminds me of Pence. I mean, you throw the ball near the plate, he's swinging.
Yeah, just one walk for the month. I thought that was an interesting part where, you know, if there is anything close, he's swinging, he's trying to do damage. And last night you saw in a really critical situation, the situation where the Giants just haven't gotten any key hits this season, two strikes, two outs, a one-run ball game, and he delivers with a single through the right side of the infield. And to me, Dickerson was the star last night, but that Pilar hit was really the key to the victory.
It was great because the ball was up and away, and he just took it the other way and goodbye. And that was it. He knew exactly what to do with that ball. And that's a veteran. So, yeah, good call by you. And that was a big hit for him. Has Bochy calmed down from Thursday night yet?
Yes, I think that Alex Dickerson's arrival did just that for him. So the Giants were in better spirits. And it's interesting, you know, the replay goes against them on Thursday night where there was inconclusive evidence. But they only got out of that fourth inning last night with Jeff Samardzija because a replay went in their favor at second base. It looks like Adam Jones beat Joe Panik's tag with a bag at second base, trying to stretch that single and into another bag. And you know, there was inconclusive evidence once again on a replay. So it ends up going in the Giants' favor in a key spot last night.
What do you think about it? Do you have a thought on it? I know everyone talks about it. What's your take on replay, how it could be improved? What would you like to see?
I like what Buster Posey said the other night. You know, there's no excuse not to have more cameras out there. If you're repeatedly coming up with inconclusive evidence as a determination, it defeats the purpose of replay. Why have it at all? Why slow down these games if you can't make any real crystal clear judgments off of that? And so I think that there either needs to be more cameras or there needs to be a more thorough explanation process from the umpires who are making these decisions back in New York. Because you look at the NBA, they do this thorough last 2 minutes report where you get all the information on the fouls that were called, the plays that weren't called. And Major League Baseball has nothing like that. Or if they do, it's just not it's not information that's spread well. And so they really need to fix that because there's not enough transparency in the process, in my opinion, when there's so much riding on these games.
Well, there's no transparency in the sport. I mean, yeah. They're playing with a, you know, a harder baseball. We see home. Look, this Alex Dickerson, we love him, 458, and he hit it through an exit. I think it's still rolling by your, you know, where you went to school. You know, we're seeing this all the time, and they just won't come up with any real serious explanation as to, you know, why there are so many more home runs.
Yeah, and I think fans and players would just appreciate the honesty. Look, if Major League Baseball says that it has changed the ball, it says that it's come out and tried to create more offense, I think people would appreciate the transparency and the honesty, and maybe it wouldn't lead to satisfaction in, from all parties. I know that pitchers would be upset, but you know, you've got a situation where there's just so much frustration because you're right, there isn't enough transparency right now. And so it's in a sport that's struggling to generate interest and losing audience by the day, you need to come out and do something to change that. And I think that that's on Commissioner Rob Manfred.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. And it goes with the umpires, the whole thing in New York. It should be in the local ballparks. They should have more cameras. They should let you know. They should share the information. This is an age of information sharing, so to speak. And everybody's got it. And when you hide the ball, it doesn't look good. And that's where baseball's at. That's my take on it. Hey, Brandon Belt could have a milestone tonight. I assume he'll be in the lineup. His 1,000th game as a San Francisco Giant. How about that?
Yeah, the longevity, really impressive from Belt.
Yeah.
You know, looking at his career statistics yesterday, he's got an OPS above 800. He's got almost a hit per ball game, half a walk per game that he's played in. And so a really nice career that Brandon Belt strung together. But what stands out to me is that the Giants are now going to have four players with 1,000 games with the club. They're the only team to do that since the Reds, I believe, in the 1970s or 80s, with Pablo Sandoval, Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey, and Brandon Belt, all playing 1,000 games with the franchise. So it's rare continuity. And when you hear from fans who say, I don't know who they're throwing out there, I don't know who's in the lineup on a daily basis, just remember that half of the lineup has been there since 2011.
Yeah, it's amazing over at that. And I just saw it. I didn't realize it until I saw it today, but you're right. You go back to the Garvey Lopes Say era, the Pete Rose, Dreesen, and Tony Perez and all the bench and those guys, and that you got to go back that far. So I think it's a milestone. I hope Belt celebrates it, and I hope that people acknowledge it.
Yeah, especially in the free agency era where we really haven't seen anything like this. And, of course, the continuity has played a significant role in the Giants' decline over the last three seasons, but it is something that got them to the greatest heights in franchise history, and that cannot go without notice.
Well, you're right. Get rid of everybody. They stayed too long. What are they doing here? All right, that's the other side of the coin. Arizona looked awful last night.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and tonight they're throwing out Zach Godley against Tyler Beattie, so we could have a really long game if these pitchers struggle to find the strike zone. But, you know, the D-backs, to me, they go and they've got this heart of the order that at times looks really good with Ketel Marte, Ed Escobar, David Peralta. These are all guys who can put together doubles like it's nobody's business, but when they're not going well and they're pitching struggles, it's not a pretty sight to watch.
You got to see, I know you're going to run here, we're going to ask you one more. You got to see Yelich and Bellinger. You got to see them both. What's your take on both? And if you had to do an MVP vote today, where would you go?
I'd go with Bellinger just because of the defense that he's provided. To me, he's been the best defensive player in the National League, and Fangraph's defensive run save metric would back that up. And so what he's doing is just downright historic. But Christian Yelich, the way that he flips the bat out there in the strike zone and is able to spray the ball to all fields and to do it with power is impressive to me. And what really stuck out to me when he was at Oracle Park last week was the at-bat that he had against Will Smith. He struck out on Friday night, missed a pitch with a huge whiff, and then comes back on Saturday and launches the ball halfway up the left center field bleachers. So what an adjustment by Christian Yelich against a pitcher who's proven consistently to be among the toughest in the league this year. And you just tip your cap to a guy having a good season like that if you're Will Smith, because you know that you got him one time, he got you once, and that's one team's best on another team's best.
I love it. Have you seen the Reds recently in Puig?
What about Puig right now? And Derek Dietrich, Marty. Derek Dietrich's been hit by a pitch six times in that series, I believe, against Milwaukee. So yeah. I wonder if people around the league are not appreciative of the Reds' antics right now.
He leans into him. What happened to the guy in Arizona? Don't they have that guy who leans into the ball all the time? Is he still
Tim
around?
Tim LeCastro?
Yeah,
Tim LeCastro. I feel like he's got a hit-by-pitch every other plate appearance. Maybe we'll see him in the lineup tonight.
That's and, right, of course.
Beattie's got to be on his best command.
Oh, yeah, Dietrich leans into it, and this guy, too. It's yeah. Funny. What a game. Well, and, you know, Kerry, we love having you on, and as I say, you got a lot to do, but this is just the beginning of the summer. And wait till you see what happens over when the pitchers get tired and the bats even heat up more and the balls are hot. This is going to be an incredible summer. I'm telling you, offensively, Pete Alonso tied the Darryl Strawberry Met rookie record today with 26 home runs, and it's June.
Yeah, I love that. Pete Alonso, a friend of mine, he was on the team that I broadcasted for in the Cape Cod League. So
okay.
If there's anyone in baseball I'm rooting for, it's Pete Alonso. And you love to see that, 26 home runs. But, you know, Marty, the point that you're making in the pitchers are going to fatigue, the hitters are going to continue to hit home runs, I can't wait until the Giants get a look at this Connor Menez from Hollister, California, 14th round draft pick a few years ago, 12 strikeouts last night in AAA. When these Giants pitchers do fatigue, or some are traded this summer, I think that we're going to get a good look at a local kid in Connor Menez.
Yeah, we're going to have Johnny Doskow in, when we let you go and take a break. He's next, the broadcaster from the River Cats, and I want to talk to him about, is it Menez? Is that the way you say it?
I think so. I got to do some extra research
on
that.
We'll let Johnny figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Have a great night. We'll look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Thanks, Kerry.
All right. Have a good one, Marty.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. Always enjoy having him on.